Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here this evening. Thank you, Brother Ray, and the church, for having us to come. We're excited about being here. I certainly have enjoyed the good preaching this week. It's been a great blessing, and the good singing, and I appreciate that very much. Last night, Brother Broughton preached, first time I'd ever met him. I enjoyed the preaching, and I'm praying for him. But you said something this morning that I liked, and that was that his grandson was driving him home. I have a 2-year-old grandson, and I was thinking, what a blessing. The Lord will let me stay healthy and keep preaching. Someday my grandson can drive me around.
Yeah,
I want to be that kind of example, amen. Yeah. What a great blessing. I enjoy that. My wife's usually with me. I had a new grandbaby yesterday morning, born at 8 o'clock yesterday morning, a baby girl, and her husband is at officer training at Quantico in the Marines, and she has that 2-year-old there as well. So my wife is taking care of my daughter and the grandbabies, and so but I'm glad to be here. I've learned a lot this week. I certainly hope the Lord will help us tonight to help you. All these men that have preached this week, they forgot more than I know, and that's the truth. I'm not saying that trying to be humble. Many of these are men that I look up to and read behind and study after, and I've learned a lot of things from them. And I hope the Lord will help me tonight to be a blessing to you and your church like you have to me. I've learned a lot this week. I've enjoyed the singing. Brother, we don't sing like you do at our church. Not that we have bad music and bad songs, but We just sing by letter. We rear back and let her fly. And Brother James has been there many times. He knows that. But I've learned things. When your song leader's teaching you how to sing the songs, and the P means this, and the MF means MP means this, and this, I like that. I like learning. And so I've enjoyed the good singing. What a great blessing. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn with us to Genesis chapter 39. I know it's late. It's 8:45 already. And if I want to preach a whole chapter. And that's 20-some verses, 23 verses. It took me 5 30-minute radio broadcasts to preach it on the radio. And I've preached to a lot of microphones, brother. So I won't be able to do all that the time that we have. And the brothers talked about, by the way, brother, I don't want to play golf with you. I enjoyed your preaching. I've never met you. I enjoyed the preaching. I love playing golf, but I have no interest in playing golf with you whatsoever. We'll fellowship if you want to. I'll come hear you preach, but you can find another guy. I'd be dead. That's what I'd be. I'd be dead. Amen. Sorry, I ain't got time for side roads, but I was thinking about that when he was preaching. Enjoyed the preaching. He's talking about preaching simple messages. That's the only, I don't know anything but simple. And I understand the group that I'm preaching to tonight. I've never been here before. This is my first time here. I have been listening to your preacher preach on the internet and YouTube, and I enjoyed the preaching and the teaching, and I know you guys are some of the best Christians that I've met, and this is one of the best churches I've had the privilege to be in. You have the right Bible, you have the right doctrine, you have the right preaching, you have the right dress, you have the right music, you have the right songs, you have all of that stuff. And in spite of that, the message that I believe, now I'm not super spiritual, I'm going to tell you, the Lord don't speak to me and tell me to preach this. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. And the thing that I've had on my heart for some time and been studying to preach is proof that faithfulness is possible. And when I stand before this congregation, I'm sure that the majority of you are more faithful than I. And yet we see in Genesis chapter 39 a great example of faithfulness in the life of Joseph. And so I want to read tonight a few verses of Scripture, and we'll pray together, ask God, we'll just go as far as we can. If we gets too late, I'll just stop and give you the outline, and and we'll go home. But the Bible says in Genesis 39, verse number 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Brother, I believe the Lord liked him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the Bible. We thank you for the good preaching we've heard this week. Our souls has been fed. We've been encouraged. We've learned. We've met new brethren. We've heard new songs. We've learned music. It's just been wonderful. And Lord, would you help me for just a few moments to give something back? Lord, to be a help to this preacher and this pastor and these great men who are here and this wonderful church here in this city. Lord, would you help us to do that? We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the story of Joseph begins, as all of you know, I'm sure, in chapter number 37. And chapter number 38, there's a pause in the story for God to remind us that he hasn't forgotten us poor, lost, worthless Gentiles. And then right back in chapter 39, the story picks right back up again about Joseph. It starts right where chapter 37 ends. Now, we know that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He's been stripped of his coat of many colors. He's been thrown into a pit. He's been sold into slavery. And now he's been brought down to Egypt. As we study this chapter, keep in mind that Joseph, according to chapter 37 and verse number 2, he was only 17 years old when he went out to check on his brethren, and they took his coat and they threw him in the pit and all that stuff. And yet we see in this young man, now we find out later in chapter 41 in verse number 36, when he is becomes the second in command of with Pharaoh, that he's 30 years old. So he's in slavery some 13 years. I don't know, I couldn't tell you the exact age of Joseph in chapter 39, but he is a young man, definitely between the age of 17 and 30. So he's a young man. And yet we see that in this young man, we see a character trait that is beyond or surpasses many times men who are many years his senior. And he started out right, amen, and he stayed right. What a blessing. I didn't start out so well, but I want to finish well. I wasted many years of my life, and that's a whole another thing. I don't want to go there. I want to stay on the message. But the first six verses that we read in your hearing tonight are basically a continued introduction to the message that we want to begin in verse number 7. So let's just look at these verses quickly. I won't spend a lot of time in them. Just want to mention some things about them. Verse number 1 says, "And Joseph was brought down." Joseph didn't have any choice in the matter. There's other places in Genesis where you study where, for instance, Abraham went down. Judah went down. They went on their own. But Joseph didn't have a choice. He was brought down. Now, not only was he brought down, the Bible says he was brought down to Egypt. And Egypt is always down. That's a geological truth as far as Mount Zion being the center of the earth in Jerusalem. But it's also a spiritual truth as well. And I certainly don't want to go down to Egypt. Now, Joseph did not enter Egypt as a free man. He didn't enter this place on his own. He went into Egypt as a slave. He was sold into slavery. I like verse number 2, the beginning of that verse says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was a slave. He's separated from his home. He's separated from his dad. He's separated from his family. And he's separated from freedom, but he's not separated from God. Aren't you glad that God will never leave you? He'll never forsake you. What a blessing. And so the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, the circumstances change, but peace and fellowship do not. Ain't that a blessing? Hebrews 13, I believe it is, in verse number 5, says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Listen, we must continue to trust God when our circumstances change. If you are any age at all, you certainly understand that circumstances change. One thing that is certain and constant about life is change. And so I'm glad that God doesn't change. I'm glad His Word doesn't change. And I'm glad His faithfulness doesn't change. And I'm glad His companionship doesn't change. And I'm glad the relationship doesn't change. Amen. What a great God. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And then notice this phrase. And he was a prosperous man. Now this certainly doesn't imply in any way at all that he is prospering materially, or becoming wealthy. He's a slave. That can't be the case. It certainly can't be happening. He is prospering. He was successful because everything that he put his hand to, God made it to prosper. Well, I want the Lord to like me. I want to be able, when I put my hands to things, I want the Lord to prosper it. Amen. That's what He's doing for Joseph. There's two vital lessons that we see here, and I won't spend a lot of time here. I want to get to the message. But there's two vital lessons that we can see in this verse. First of all, God blesses and honors the man who will work as diligently for others as he would for himself. You see, Potiphar gained from Joseph's labor, not Joseph. Potiphar is the one who is receiving the benefit of the work that Joseph is doing. And yet in spite of that, Joseph is working diligently, and he's working hard, and he's doing it because it's the right thing to do. You ever do anything, not because it's necessarily gaining you anything or anything of that sort, but you're just doing that because it's the right thing to do. One of the things that we have lost in America, it's talking about teaching character traits, is if we have lost the understanding that we ought to just do right because it's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Amen. So we see the second thing that this verse teaches is that Joseph prospered in spite of his environment. You know, poor circumstances are no excuse for failure. I don't have time this evening. I could tell you about the church that I pastor and how all of that came about and where it was located, where it is located, the condition. But I have poor circumstances and no excuse for failure. I don't know why God likes me. I don't know why God likes our church. I don't know why God has blessed us. But boy, I'm glad He does. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:11, it says, "But not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound." God, help us to get to the place in our life where God, we understand that God will prosper us in spite of the circumstance. You don't have to start out I didn't start out well, and yet God has prospered me in my labor. And I'm not saying that because I'm giving you an excuse not to do right. I'm just telling you, if that's your case, God will still help you if you'll do right. Amen. Now, no one's circumstances were worse than Joseph's. And yet in spite of that, he isn't protesting about his wages. He isn't asking for a $15 an hour minimum. He is a slave, and he's still working, and he's still doing right. Boy, we need to get back to working in this country. We need to get back to working as Christians. He isn't complaining about the boss. He's working. He isn't seeking government assistance. He's working. He isn't blaming his situation on someone else. He's working. He isn't making excuses. He's working. And so we understand that environment is not the issue. The heart is the issue. And so God help us get our heart right with God. I got to move on. Verse number 2. I'm still in verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now Joseph is the property of another man. This is submission even in the worst of circumstances. Joseph did not have, he didn't have to be in a special place or in a certain situation in order to enjoy the presence of God. Listen, I'm thankful for a local church. I believe that God died for the church. I know that that's not the building, it's the body of Christ. I understand all that. But I don't just have to be in the church to get blessings from God. Some of the greatest times that I have with God is at my desk where I study, and or riding down the road in the car, or oftentimes in my lowest valleys and my hardest trials is when I have the greatest fellowship with God. Joseph did not allow the circumstance that he was in to take away the enjoyment of the presence of God. And I want to encourage you tonight not to let your circumstance take away the enjoyment of the presence of God in your life. Now, verse number 3, the Bible says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Boy, that's something that... Listen, I want you to get the picture. I'm never going to get to the message. I'm going to give up on that. I want you to get the picture here. Here Joseph is in a situation that is almost unthinkable. His dad loves him, but he's been taken away from his dad. His brothers hated him and they wanted to kill him. And instead of killing him, they threw him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. And his life is a mess. And it is almost unthinkable the things that he's gone through. And here he finds himself in a slave owner's house doing the work of a slave. And not one time do I read that he's complaining. Not one time do I read of him whining. Not one time do I read about him bellyaching and blaming God for what's going on in his life. He just keeps working and he keeps staying faithful and he keeps doing right. And God just keeps blessing him and God keeps promoting him and God keeps honoring him. Amen. So God help us not to let our circumstances dictate our life. Now, his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's what I was getting to. In the worst of conditions, his master was able to see Christ in him. I live a place where my wife and I live. I have one neighbor that I believe is saved. I've lived there for 28 years. Of course, all of my neighbors has come and gone over the years. None of them has been there that long except for the one that claims he's saved. And I witness to these people and I talk to them about Jesus and I invite them to church and I can't get them to come sometimes. Sometimes they let me talk to them about the Lord. Sometimes they don't. But I heard one of my neighbors say something the other day. It's a horseshoe road. And I live in the U part. And so the road goes all the way around me. And I'm sorry, brother, I got one in my pocket. I told you, Brother James. I laughed when I was a kid. I grew up in church. Brother Jack Anderson, he spat when he preached and I would laugh at him. Be not deceived, God has not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I was talking with one of my neighbors the other day, and we have some neighbors that has recently bought a house and moved in, and they cause a lot of problems. They're drunkards, and it's just what the world does. I'm not upset at them. I'm not mad at them. I don't get mad at them. I go by and I give them gospel tracts, and when they're not drinking, and I try to get them to come to church. I tell them about Jesus. But this is what I'm thinking about right here. Joseph's sir, he's a slave in Egypt. But his master saw that the Lord was with him. One of my neighbors the other day, he was irate at the neighbors that's causing all the ruckus in the neighborhood. I mean, he was mad. He was livid. I was out of town. I'd been preaching in a meeting, and I come home, and he called me on the phone. And he said, are you home? I said, yeah. He said, come out on the porch. I want to talk to you. And he was mad at that neighbor. And he said last Friday night he was out there spinning, and he was. There's black marks all over the road. At 1:30 in the morning he was out there spinning up and down the road, and just he said, I got my shotgun out and shot up in the air two or three times. Said I wanted to kill him. He said, what would you do, preacher? I said, well, I certainly don't want to kill him. I have no desire to do that. So I'd sure like to win him to Christ. That'd be a blessing. This is what he said. He said, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. He better not never hurt you. I'll tell you that. He stomped off and went on. You know, I didn't say anything to him. But I think he saw Christ in me. And Joseph's master here, he saw that the Lord was with him. Listen, do you have something that people can see? You have something people can see? I'm the worst of the worst. I understand that, but I think there ought to be something about us that's different. I think the world ought to be able to take notice of that. And so he said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, I can go on with that, but let's move on. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, and there certainly is. Now look at verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Now listen, I got three reasons here why Joseph's master was well pleased with him. First of all, because he was faithful. Second of all, because he worked hard. Third of all, because he was trustworthy. Well, those are good character traits for a Christian. God will honor those qualities in man, or God will honor those qualities even when man doesn't. Trust Him, stop complaining, stop whining, stop protesting, and trust God. He'll prosper you, even if man doesn't. Amen. And it came to pass, verse number 5, and it came to pass that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now notice this, the Bible said the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So here, the worldly man and his house are blessed because of the presence of the godly man. This should be the case where you work. The place where you work, that place ought to be blessed because of your presence. That place ought to be blessed. Listen, I'll just leave the stories alone. Your place ought to be, the place where you work, the place where you go to school, whatever the case may be, those places ought to be blessed because of your presence. This place was blessed because of Joseph's presence. Amen. I think a lot of this has a lot to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 13 through 16, where it's talking about the relationship with the unbelieving spouse. You know, you have the believing spouse, the unbelieving house, but the house is sanctified because of the believing spouse. I believe has something to do with that. The place ought to be blessed because of your presence. You ought not be the same lying, cheating, cussing, untrustworthy employee that the rest of the people are. There ought to be something different about you. And I believe there was obviously something different with Joseph. Verse number 6 says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, everything that Potiphar had, he placed into the hands of Joseph. You and I ought to be that trustworthy. We ought to be. I owned a business for quite a while, and my wife and I did. I owned a service station, a gas station, service station. We did that for a long time. Now, I tell you, it is sad how many professing Christians are not trustworthy. They wouldn't pay their bills and just all kind of things. You ought not be that way. You ought to be trustworthy. Joseph was trustworthy. He was never bitter. He never complained. He never refused to do what he told. He never took something that wasn't his because he thought someone owed it to him. He never protested. He never walked a picket line. He never even destroyed Potiphar's equipment to get out of work. I had a guy work for me that do that. I caught him one time tearing the equipment up so he wouldn't have to work. You ought to be trustworthy. God help us to be trustworthy. Now, the reason Joseph was able to do all these things is because he believed the promise that God made him in chapter 37. And God has made you and I some promises. And with those promises that God has made us, they ought to help us to cope with our difficulties well. Now, and here's the message. I finally got there, and I'll go quick. It's after 9 o'clock already. First of all, in verses 7 through 12, Joseph is faithful in spite of temptations. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Joseph is faithful in spite of temptations. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." Now, her sin began with the eye. And the best I can tell, and I may have missed some of the best I can tell, this is the fifth time in the book of Genesis that sin begins with the eyes. Look if you will, look in chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3, you know this one well, you probably know them all well. But we have Eve in Genesis chapter 3, look at this, in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." So we see that Eve's sin began with the eye. Then look in chapter 13. Look in chapter 13. You know the story of Lot. Genesis chapter 13. Their herdmen began to strive one with another. The land was not able to support both of their wealth. Look at verse number 10. Chapter 13, verse number 10. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." So before Lot ever pitched his tent towards Sodom, he picked out a place that would be good to raise cattle instead of raising his children. And so his eyes, he looked upon a place that led his family into the wrong direction. And so we see now, look at Genesis chapter 34. In Genesis chapter 34, in verse number 1, a great lesson to our young people. And by the way, these young people playing all these instruments and the piano before church and the fiddles and all, or violins, sorry. Y'all just found out where I'm from. What a blessing. I appreciate that. Amen. But look at this in Genesis chapter 34. This is the third time in the book of Genesis we see that sin began with the eyes. "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her." Dinah's in a good home. She's in a good place. She's been well protected. She's been taken care of. But she has became displeased with the environment. Or maybe I should say she's become unsatisfied with the environment that she's in. She wants to see what's out there. And so she went out to see. And when she went out to see, she was Saul. She got in trouble. Listen, sin begins with the eyes. Look in chapter 38. In chapter 38, the very chapter right here, the Bible says in verse number 1, "It came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira." And look what it says. "And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite." We ain't supposed to be messing with Canaanite women. Back in Genesis chapter 28, Isaac told Jacob, he said, don't marry the Canaanitish women. And so Judah's grandfather told his father, don't be marrying those Canaanitish women. And here Judah is. He went out there and the first thing he did is he saw a Canaanite woman. And then we come here to Genesis chapter 39 and we see that Potiphar's wife, her sin began with the eye. And so 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so God help us to, listen, it's important what you see. I know where I'm preaching at, but you'd probably be amazed in a church like this what people are looking at. How you know that preacher? I pastor a church. Talk with people, counsel with people. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you let your children look at. And what you let your grandchildren look at. Now, I don't know what Joseph looked like. I have no idea. I don't believe anybody does. Some of the commentators I read after seem to think that they do. And they said that he was a beautiful guy. Nice looking. I don't know what he looked like, but I know this. Look what verse number 6 says at the end of the verse. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Well, Proverbs chapter 6 says, 26 at the end of that verse, it says, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So I don't know what he looked like, but I do know that he was a goodly person and well favored, and Satan will do everything that he can to destroy a precious life. And so we see this temptation by Potiphar's wife, that she was, her sin began with her eyes. She was daring and dangerous in her sin. Verse number 10, she said, lie with me. And, boy, you'd think this is Genesis. This is thousands of years ago. We're in 2016. Things haven't changed as much as you think they have. She was bold and brash and dangerous in her sin. And I want to tell you something, when lust controls the heart, it will stop at nothing. It won't stop at decency. It won't stop at your reputation. It won't stop at your conscience. All is just reckless abandon and everything will be destroyed. She was urgent and violent in the temptation. The Bible said it came to pass in verse number 10 that she spake to Joseph day by day. Day by day. Now, this wickedness is in her. And it showed in her heart that she was fully set to do evil. This was a great temptation to Joseph. Now, I don't know what you think about Matthew Henry. And that's not my argument or anything to do with that at all about this. But I will say this. He said this about Joseph's temptation, and I like him. Talking about his resistance to the temptation being remarkable. He said, for all I know, all things considered, Joseph's escape was as great an instance of the divine power of God as the deliverance of the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. Joseph is a young man. He's away from his home. He's away from his family. He's lost his freedom. He's in a strange country. And here is this boisterous woman, and she is throwing herself at him. And yet he remains faithful.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Look at this, verse number 8. The Bible says, but he refused. Ain't that a blessing? But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What a blessing that Joseph risked. Listen, here's the thing. Joseph resisted this temptation because he understood that it was great wickedness and it was a sin against God. He didn't resist the temptation because she was unattractive or because she was not intelligent or not a pleasant person to be around. He resisted this temptation because she was someone else's wife. And he made this statement. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen, we're living in a day when adultery is only considered great witness by people who love God and love the Bible. Blessing it is that Joseph understood that because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We have got to begin to see sin as God sees sin. It's not a mistake. It's wickedness. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abomination. It's not a slip of the tongue. It's blasphemy. Amen. It's not an abortion. It's murder. Sin ought to be a shame in any life, but it's especially true when it's in the life of a child of God. Verse number 10, the Bible says that he resisted steadfastly. And it came to pass as he spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He wouldn't even listen to her. He gave no place to the devil. What a blessing. Now, many a man, young and old, thought, I'll go part way. Or I'll mess around with this, or I'll flirt around with this. And they found themselves to be a fool. Now, my good friend, Brother James, one of his books, and it may have been the book on Genesis, he a quote in there I like, he said, if failure lies at the end of the road, then stay off of the road. I like that. So, don't even get on the road. Joseph never even got on the road. Verse number 11 said, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in the house to do his business, but there was none of the men. There was none of the men of the house there within. Listen, this is a carefully laid trap by Satan. Now, listen, Joseph is not in this place of his own choosing. He's a slave. Now, if you man, it is getting late. If you have a job and you have this situation, you ought to ask for a transfer. You ought to ask for a shift in time. You ought to do something to get yourself out of that situation. Joseph couldn't get out of the situation. He's a slave. He didn't have a choice. And in spite of not having a choice, he still did what thousands of years before the command was given in Corinthians. He still fled the fornication. I want to tell you something. Your career is not worth your family. Your job is not worth your family. Your testimony before God is worth more than a dollar, amen. It's worth more than a new car. It's worth more than a new home. Your wife and your children are your life. Build your life on that with God, regardless of what you have to do to forsake that lifestyle. Joseph remained faithful in spite of the temptation. God, help us to be faithful. Verse number 12, she assaulted him. She called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. What a blessing. It's better to lose a good coat than it is a good conscience. Joseph has trouble keeping coats. If you get cold, if you get cold, you better find somebody else to get a coat from. Joseph can't keep his. Amen. He's faithful in spite of temptation. He's faithful in spite of trials. Now, I'm going to leave a bunch of this out so I can get done. But in verses 13 through 19, Joseph is accused before his peers, and he's accused to his master. Now, I was thinking about this. When he was accused before his peers, I can almost... There was probably Baptist. He's a good man. He's got an impeccable reputation and an impeccable testimony. And finally, there's some dirt on him. I can almost see his peers running to spread the news. I can almost see them turning their back because finally there's a mark against his testimony. I believe that they probably excited Potiphar's wife even to more anger and resentment because they jumped on him so harshly. It's sad to see anybody fall. If you've ever loved anybody, it rips your heart out. Joseph hasn't fallen. He's remained faithful. I'm afraid sometimes we get on a bandwagon before we get the details.
Yeah, that's right.
Now listen, I know there's been good men that's fallen. It's only by the grace of God that I certainly nothing within myself, and you either. But I'm afraid sometimes that we hear things and we are quick to spread them before we get all the news. Joseph's done nothing wrong and his reputation is being tarnished. God help us to make sure we know before we jump onto somebody.
Amen.
Now let's look. I'm trying to hurry. I'm going to skip all the way over to... So he's accused among his peers. That's verse 15. Look at verse number 17. She accuses him to her father. To her husband, to the master. Verse number 17 says, "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came in unto me to malt me." Now, she's accusing her husband for the supposed attack. Now, I want to tell you, when you start down that, I hope you don't, please understand that, but if you start down that road that she's on,
yep,
it's always somebody else's fault.
Yep.
First it was Joseph's fault, and now it's the master's fault. You shouldn't have even brought him in the house. Can I tell you something you already know? You ain't never going to get any help until you look in the mirror and say, "It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, that needs your mercy. It's me that needs your grace. It's me that needs your forgiveness. It's me that needs your help and your love." Long as you're passing that buck, you ain't repenting. Now, I'll mention this one thing. I'll go on to the last point and it'll be fast, I promise. The Bible says in verse number 19, "And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant unto me." Look what it says, "that his wrath was kindled." Now, I wonder who he's really mad at. And I'll tell you why I say that, because it's part of the next point. I believe if Potiphar really thought Joseph had have done that, he would have had him put to death. I believe he would have killed him. Had him killed. He's angry, and he's rightly so to be angry, but I don't really think he's mad at Joseph. I think he's probably mad at her because he knew the lust that was in her heart. I don't know how long they've been married. I don't have anything. But I think you could see something, at least a hint or some evidence of something like that in somebody's life. And so I think he's maybe could tell by her actions that she wasn't faithful and he's mad at her. Or maybe he's mad at himself. I think he might be mad at himself because he didn't have enough courage to stand up to a domineering woman. That went over good, didn't it? I'm going to stand up here. But honestly, I think he might be mad at himself. But I'll tell you what I think he's really mad at. Is he's losing money. You see, look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 said, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." I believe he's mad because he's losing money. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, "The love of money is the root of all evil." So he's faithful in spite of temptations. He's faithful in spite of trials. And in the verse, he's faithful in spite of tragedies. I don't have time to read all that, but he gets put into prison. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to prison. I worked for a company for many years, sitting in an office that didn't have a window to the outside. I thought I was in prison for all those years. I really hate to be in prison. was a tragedy. But in spite of all this, and I'm quitting, Joseph did not complain. He did not protest. He continued to be faithful regardless of his situation. Joseph was faithful to the Lord regardless of where he was. And regardless of where he was, the Lord was faithful to him. In verse number 22, look at this. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He just kept working. Everywhere he went, he just kept working. And everywhere he went, he remained faithful. And God just kept blessing him and just kept prospering him. And he just kept rising to the top. He just couldn't keep him down. You know why? He was faithful. God, help me to be faithful. Brother.
I don't know if you thought about this, but if Joseph had if he caved, there might not have been anybody that would have known about it. I mean, there might have been no racket made about it at all. I think we read that and we say, well, I wouldn't do anything like that because what if it got put in a book? Because you're reading about it in the Bible and you think, well, of course I wouldn't have done it. But you've got to understand, Joseph did not know that that story would end up in your Bible.
Yes.
He did right knowing that it would draw attention to himself to do right and cause problems. He didn't do right because he thought, well, the Lord's going to put this in a book one day and tell about how great I was. He just did right. And if he'd have done wrong, there's a good chance it would have gone unnoticed in the world. But God would have noticed. And you think about it, I think if he'd have given in, I think slowly but surely that money would have dried up. And everybody would have been looking around, what's the problem? It would have been like Jonah on a ship, wouldn't it? And I think we strive to be faithful when we think people are watching. We forget the most important person is always watching. And that's God. So that means even if nobody knows I'm lying, I should tell the truth.
Yep.
Even if nobody knows that I stole that thing, I should leave it alone. Because God knows. God knows. God knows what's in the depths of my heart. You know, we say that like it's a good thing. Well, God knows my heart.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of time, that's the worst possible news. God knows my heart. What a wonderful message. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we need you. Joseph was willing to do the right thing, even though it ruined his reputation with men, it preserved his reputation with you. Help us to forsake the idolatry of caring more about what other people think than we care about what you think. God, I pray you would speak to our hearts and move upon us and deal with us tonight. Thank you for the preaching. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Head bowed, eyes closed, as Brother Sam sings. If the Lord dealt with your heart, why don't you come?